Okay, today is September 1st, actually, 2016. Visiting with Denny Harris, and just wanted to go back a little bit and visit a little bit as far as how you came to eventually show up in Epworth, Iowa for high school. So, you want to go back a little bit?
Well, I was born and raised in Dubuque for actually 10 years of my school life, and in the fall of 1962 my dad bought a farm which eventually became half of Thunder Hills, and we built a house out here, and I had a choice of either going into Dubuque or switching to Western Dubuque, and
So you were, what grade were you at
that? I was a sophomore.
Okay.
And
so you started out at senior?
Senior.
Okay.
Right. It was just senior in Wallard in Dubuque at that time.
Yeah.
So from big high school to a small one, but I knew my godparents, Merle and Elaine Mazina, lived in Epworth, and their son Rod and I were best of friends ever since we were little, and we used to go out there and help them make hay and so forth, and so I knew a lot of kids that went to Western Dubuque, and when it came to a choice, why, I decided I'd like to go to West Dubuque.
Okay.
And
so that was the
that was my junior year,
which
then
would have been 64?
63, 64.
Okay.
And it was a, I don't want to say it was a culture shock, but most of the students were either not wanted in their home schools, or had gotten into a little bit of trouble and were transferred to West Dubuque. But it was a lot of farming kids, you know, as opposed to what it is now. I mean,
right. Yeah.
You know, I met Dave Weidert, who was in my class, lived on Highway 20 over here. When we were building our house here, he rode up on a horse, and he was going down to where Isaac Walton is now. They used to own that, and he was going to check on cattle there. I thought, boy, I am in the sticks when this kid rode up on a horse.
Was he bareback, or did he have a saddle?
No, he had a saddle on, yeah. No, it was... I remember the first day of school, I had to... I used to drive from Dubuque because we were not living in the house yet, so I would drive from Dubuque and park the car here and get on the school bus.
So the bus was available at that time.
Yes, yes. And I thought, boy, I better look at the sign as we go by Piazza so I know how to spell the address. But, yeah, there were only two houses on our road. And
what was the other house?
Lochner's back here.
Okay.
Way in the back, like.
Well, the farm back here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Ray Bierman was the bus driver.
Okay. I know Ray.
Yeah. And I was the last one to get on and one of the first ones to get off.
Really?
So.
Okay.
So,
at that time then you started the fall semester. Were you, as far as athletics, were you eligible right away, or?
Yes.
How did that work?
Because we technically moved.
Okay.
And it was not, I guess our residency was considered out here.
Did you, before that, when you were at senior, had you played athletics in there? And
I did through junior high, and then my sophomore year of high school, I played, football and basketball, and when they found out I was moving, played very little after that.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Okay. And I, Walt Kirk, who I saw many years after that, quite a few times, and he would always shake his head and say, "Hey, you guys almost cost me my job." But it was.
So, who were some of the teachers that you remember from
from West Dubuque?
West Dubuque.
Dick Walou. I think it may have been his first year. I think. I'm not exactly sure. Paul Vossen, Wayne Thurm.
Is Forky there?
Yes. Yes. And Miss Williams.
Helen Williams.
And let's see, who else? Well, Hermie was there, and
that's right,
and Wick. Mrs. Hall had typing, but fell down the steps and broke her legs, so personal typing was taught by none other than Mr. Ralph Buckman.
Okay.
Two boys in the class, and the rest girls, and they could type a little bit, and we could not type at all. And it was an interesting class.
You know, that's a good point, because I remember when I was in high school, a friend of mine, I was a senior, he was a junior, he said, "Hey, let's take typing. I think you can do some girls or something." And so I agreed, and we got in this typing class. Well, I did learn keyboarding, mm-hmm. which became pretty important,
yes.
after computers came in.
It was the first day he came in, and we go, "Oh, my." He had a big grin on his face. He said, "All right, put a piece of paper in the..." You know, and they weren't even electric. They were manual,
sure.
typewriters. And put a piece of paper in, okay. And now take the cover out from underneath, put it over your head, and type your name. A lot of sore fingers after that. But it was interesting because as a building principal, all of a sudden, you become a teacher for this class.
Yeah.
You know, and very good teacher, you know.
Was the hot lunch going at that time?
Yes.
Everything?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of portable classrooms outside.
Okay. Yeah. Even at that time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I can't remember. Schmeling was a German teacher at that time. They offered German.
Okay.
He was related to Max Schmeling, the boxer. That's all I remember. Yeah. Who else was it? Well, Phil Smith, obviously.
Yeah, Phil would have been there for sure. And Wick was there.
And Wick.
That was the fall, and so he eventually hooked up with the basketball.
Right.
How did that go originally?
It was a lot different than at senior. You know, and there was no girls basketball,
right.
either place, but practice time and sharing the gym and so forth with just the one gym, and that being one of the newest ones in the area.
Yeah.
If not, well, it was the newest.
The new one, yeah.
And it was an experience playing the other local high schools because you had students from all of those schools,
right.
you know, at Western Dubuque, or former students from there. And Wick was the head coach, and
so that was your junior?
That was my junior year, yes.
Okay.
And Hermy was the sophomore coach at.
Okay.
And then he would help with the varsity.
Okay.
always had the pep band there. Almost every game.
Is that right?
I mean, and Phil Smith's pep band was not only good, but it was big.
Well, see, that was always Phil's philosophy because, you know, I always thought, well, couldn't you just have a small group? You know, to be the pep band, but he said, no, I have to have everybody
there.
Everybody
yes.
there, so okay.
Yeah. And there were kids that were in the band that played basketball and that, and was never a problem with practicing or anything else, you know.
Yeah.
Which was a lot different than it was at senior. If you did one thing, you couldn't do the other, you know. And they're very willing to work with students to let them do as many yeah. things as they could, you know.
So how did that year go as far as basketball?
It was a good year. I don't know if we won the conference or not. But I think it was the first year we beat, or that Western Dubuque had beaten Dyersville Xavier, I believe.
Okay.
And
that was the year before I came. I came the next year to St. Joe's. You had a pretty good nucleus of guys that were going to be seniors the following year, right?
Same players.
Same outfit, yeah, sure.
We lost two seniors, I believe, that did not play a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
But had been in the program the whole time, and
you had Sharkey Gassman, Roger Tucker.
Jim Rudin. Rod Mazzina, myself, Bill Pins, Roger Schuster, Loris Kalb, like I said, Dave Whiter, didn't I? Yeah. Tom McAndrews.
Okay.
And who else was that?
So did you win the conference then?
I think we did.
Because there was the conference tournament, right?
Which was standing room only, and
yeah, that was huge.
Oh, I couldn't believe that many people would, you know, but. Every small school had a big following.
Well, back then, there were not as many distractions.
So right. Absolutely.
People didn't have whatever we got now to entertain themselves. So.
And nothing was on TV like like it is now. So.
I'll never forget. You remember that New Vienna outfit? Those guys were huge.
Steve Ray, Gene Cruzzi.
Yeah. And
yes.
So I never forget. We played them in the tournament at Epworth. And this Father Benda was the coach, supposedly. And he didn't know much about basketball. Anyway, we had the starting lineups. Want the starting lineups, so I'll go over to the bench and give them mine. And Father Benda comes over and he said, well, so-and-so is the center. And we got two guards. And what do you call those guys that stand in the corner? How we got his starting lineup, and they were like enormous guys.
Oh, and when you played them at New Vienna, I mean, they could literally touch hands and be all the way across the court.
Yeah,
and the over and back line was right by the other free throw line.
I bet we played one year. We played up there, and We had scored 48 points in the first half, and we were down by 6.
It was no out of bounds.
No.
And you played a restraining line. Did they call it restraining line?
I think so, something like that.
Yeah. We had guys that never did figure that out. Years later, they're still talking about it. But Aquin was the other good-sized gym.
Yeah.
You know.
How did you fare as far as in the tournament at the end of the year?
Well, we ended up, because you didn't have all the different classes then.
Right. Yeah, it was just...
I think we ended up playing like 4 games, but we didn't make it to the district, I think.
Okay.
It was all new to me because.
Yeah.
We play again? Yeah, we play again.
Do you remember if that was in Dubuque then? Or?
We played, I think, 2 or 3 games at West Dubuque.
Okay.
And then you would have either played Senior Wallard.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, that was my junior year, and then you either played baseball or ran track.
Okay.
And track was a starter program,
right?
Coach Hermson, and he coached and drove the small bus and did everything. We had a grass track. We had hurdles in that. But it got a little tense when Cliff Fobb had his motorcycle up on the grass track, weaving in and out of the hurdles. And here comes Mr. Buckman.
Oh my God.
Oh jeez. But you can't visualize what it was like up there on that hill. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was kind of flat, you know.
Yeah.
And they would line, just take some line marking and go around, you know, to make
a track.
What they thought was 440 yards, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
I must have climbed that hill 900 times, I guess. But I can never quite understand when they had a choice to make, why they didn't put it down below it, but it was natural.
Right.
You know,
yes.
To have it. the wind is just...
Always
spring.
We used to go up there for PE class, you know. It was touch football. Well, that didn't last long either. I mean, it got pretty rough.
See you, buddy. See you tomorrow.
Okay. Maybe I'll put that Cub sign up on your playhouse tomorrow, okay?
Oh, awesome.
All right.
Another Cub fan.
Oh, geez. He went to school. He's in preschool. And he wore his Cub shirt the first day there. And the teacher said, I'm a Cub fan too. And he goes, oh. She said, who's your favorite player? And he rattles off about 3 of them. And she said, well, do you know the numbers of any of them? He goes, yep, 1-7. That's my favorite player.
That's Brian.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
So, along with 3 million other
women
and kids.
Yeah.
that was your senior year was 60.
65 is when I graduated. 64 and 65 would have been my senior year.
And then, then you had to decide what you wanted to do after graduation, so.
Whether you took, what did they call it, college prep or other classes, you know. But I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do, but then I ended up at UD to play basketball.
Okay.
And got in the education program there, and then they switched coaches. John Davison became the coach there, his first year there, and then my last year at college, which I should have graduated in 1969, I got drafted in the Army, and I let myself get drafted because I could get out 4 months early to go back to school to do my student teaching, and it was a hassle every semester to write a letter and send all this registration things in that you were in school, and you know, and so finally I thought, well, this might be the best way to go, and as it turned out, I got out 4 months early anyway, but it was a good experience.
So where'd you go for the
in service? I was at Fort Lewis, Washington, by Seattle and Tacoma there. Went through basic training there and ended up staying there, working in a office that received orders from the Pentagon as to who was going to go where, whether they were going to be infantry or artillery or whatever. And then I played a game called Team Handball, and a good friend of mine who was an officer talked me into playing it, and it was an interesting game.
This is handball, not racquetball.
Played like on a field. This was played like on a...
Oh, okay.
It's close to the size of a football field. And it was going to be an exhibition game. It's an old European game, and it was going to be in the 1972 Olympics as an exhibition game. And someone in the Army thought that it was going to be the next big game for kids to play. And it's a combination of like basketball, and you couldn't use your feet to kick the ball or anything, and you could only take 3 steps. You could dribble.
What's the size of the...
3 dribbles. A little bit smaller than a volleyball, because you could palm it.
Okay.
And there was a goal like a soccer goal, a little bit smaller, and there was a 9-meter line, semicircle that came out. You could not step inside that line if you had the ball in your hand.
Okay.
But you could run like heck down the court and take off from that line. And here's the goalie going, oh,
oh my God.
But I played that just at Fort Lewis there, messing around, and then the Army was going to teach it to all the reserve units. So there were 3 of us that they pulled out from a regular assignment to do this, and they would bring a different group of people in every week from all over the Sixth Army, which was Hawaii, California, Colorado, and then he would teach these guys how to play in that.
Okay.
And then I had orders. My orders came through to go to Vietnam, and this colonel that was in charge of us said, "Don't worry, I already took care of it."
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then about a month later, had orders again, and he said, "I've taken care of it." Okay. But then we went to New Jersey and played in a. There were two Army teams, and we played in a tournament there. And while we were there, we went to West Point and. Okay. Taught the game to cadets and that, you know. And
well, that's the greatest break you had forever.
It was.
Wow.
It was. It was awesome. And then after the tournament, they wanted everybody to stay in and try out for the Olympics, you know. Well, I would have had to re-enlist for 2 years. I didn't think it was worth it. Yeah. But, then my time was up and came back and did my student teaching at Galena, and then got a job at Jefferson Junior High teaching language arts. Taught that for 1 year, and then there was a physical education opening, so took that for 32 years.
Okay.
And did coaching and I even coached wrestling 1 year.
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay. It was my friend was a wrestling coach, and they couldn't get anyone else to help him. The assistant principal Joe Wysocki said, "We really need somebody."
George.
And George says, "All I want you to do is you come out, you make sure they're not screwing around when I'm teaching them stuff." And well, I knew because my brother Gary wrestled, so I knew some of the moves that he would put on me, so that was one for my experience, 1 year, that was enough.
I always got such a kick out of Art Miller. And he'd bring those poor girls out.
Oh.
And yell and scream at those girls.
And it didn't do any good.
Oh,
no.
God.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
We had, they only had boys track. And then they started with the girls track also. And so I went to girls' track, and it was a lot of fun. You get to see the kids in a lot different light, you know. In fact, I still run into two of them. I had the discus and shot putters, and one lives in Piasta. It used to be Maggie Cavanaugh. Her kids go to West Dubuque.
Okay.
Her and her husband have a fire equipment business of something. And she could beat the boys throwing a shot.
So you spent all your time at
Jefferson. Yes.
Yeah.
And at that time, a lot of the, you didn't have a big turnover in faculty, you know, a few every year, but not like it was a little bit later on. I mean,
yeah. Well, then Dwayne and Joe were there for forever.
Yeah. The Dwayne was assistant principal when I started.
Okay.
And then Chet Schmidt was principal, and then 2 years after I started, then Chet retired, and Dwayne took over, and then Joe came a few years later. He was at
Beckman,
and then he was at Jones.
Okay.
At the shared time, we go out with them quite a bit with Joe and his wife.
Okay.
Oh, funny. a lot of changes in the schools.
After you're in it as long as we were, you realize that everything, all these concepts get recycled with different names.
Nothing's new.
But it's just the same.
Yeah. We had that Madeline Hunter.
Oh, yes.
That old gal had it down to a T because she had the books, the workbooks, the tapes, and the movie. And whatever you wanted to buy, she... and that didn't last too long. I mean, they could, they sell somebody a bill of goods, and here it is.
Yep.
And they weren't. Well, I couldn't believe. Like my junior year, when we went to Maquoketa for a track meet, and left Maquoketa, and we came up. I was lost, but towards Bernard, I guess.
Yeah.
And where we started to drop kids off.
Yeah.
I thought, holy cow!
Yeah.
You know, and they were getting up at, they were getting on the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning.
In the dark.
You know, and getting home at after five.
I talked to Wayne about that. You know, when the district was formed, the legislature required that it to be a viable district. You had to have 300 students.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was, here all the kids are going to the parochial schools.
Right.
So you just had to keep on expanding so you could finally get enough numbers. And he said, when he talked to these different areas, to meetings of farmers and people, they didn't care about any aspects of how you're going to be educated. All they worried about was the taxes.
What's it going to do to my taxes?
Yes. So that was the main focal point of the formation of the district.
But you know, you had those kids, and then ones that were north of Luxembourg.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, if a guy started dating from Luxembourg, started dating a girl from Bernard.
No.
You're talking,
45 minutes?
A long trip.
Or an hour, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'll never forget. I don't remember exactly what year it was that we were playing West Dubuque at Farley. Might have been 68 or so. And anyway, it was January. It was playing the game, the varsity game. And I think it was into the start of the fourth quarter, and somebody called timeout. And all of a sudden, Father Dan Kepler came in the door, and he walked past our bench and walked over to West Dubuque. And I found this out afterwards. He talked to Tom, and he says, "Tom, I just got a phone call." He said, "That your house is on fire." And so down, looks up at the scoreboard. It was tied. So he goes, Herbie, would you go check the house?
Oh.
And all it basically was I think the babysitter had pushed the crib, one of the kids' cribs on top of the vent, the furnace vent, and it started smoldering a little bit. But no way was Wick leaving that game.
No. We went to a few games with him in his, I think it was a Comet. You were all right if you got front seat. Because he had the seat moved all the way back. And, if you were stuck in the back seat.
Yeah. He never considered
the vehicles he had were
buying anything that was
no
newer than, 10 years old.
No.
And then, eventually, I think they did buy a decent car for Brenda when she was teaching at Farley.
Is that when the kids were all in school?
Yeah. And every so often, because one of my jobs at the high school was when somebody locked their keys in the car, I had a Slim Jim. I'd go out and open their car for them. Every so often, Wick would call me that Brenda had locked her keys in the car. I'd have to go over
to Farley. Looking right on.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway.
We've had a lot of stories about Wick.
We go to class reunions, it would be a very intense game, close, and Wick could take a time out and you get over there and he'd be stammering around. One of us would say, why don't we try? A great person.
Because he and I were classmates at Loris, and so we were always once I went to Dubuque, anyway, administratively, I kept on moving. He stayed at Farley. I went to high school, and then eventually, I forget what year it was, he retired. And I knew that was the year that we had a pretty good basketball team. But we also had a very rookie coach, and Jeff Frick. So I talked Wick into...
That was awesome.
Becoming the assistant, because I knew...
Needed a little guidance.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, wow, that was...
Yeah.
An awesome experience.
Well, and that's what Tom said, too. He said that was... From his aspect, it was really...
I know how much it meant to him to be a part of that situation.
Yeah, after all those years. Because I think he had two girls when...
Yeah.
When I was a senior.
Yeah, Sally and Lynn.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember my first year, we played at Epworth, and afterwards he invites me over to his place. They were living at that farm.
Right, yes.
And, so I went there for a couple beers, and I remember Lynn and Sally were both crawling around or whatever at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun having those guys as coaches. Not that it was easy, but it wasn't the intensity that that I had at senior anyway, They treated everyone with a lot of respect, and it was... And that was hard to do sometimes with some of them.
Oh, yes.
But, we have class reunions. Well, our last one was our 50th. And we all decided we're not going to wait 5 years to have another one because...
Never know.
Class gets smaller and smaller every year. And
how many were in your class, you remember?
there's a discrepancy there, because we've never been able to find out exactly how many were in the class, because some of them didn't graduate, didn't get a certificate, you know. I want to say like 133 or 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that was the biggest class then.
Well, yeah.
Well, I came from a class of, I don't know what, we had a senior, 600 or something like that, 700.
Yep, it was so ironic when the West Dubuque opens, and there was like, I don't know how many kids they started with, but shit, within 6 or 7 years, all the other schools were closed.
Right.
And here they all are.
Right. At your doorstep.
And,
yeah.
And of course, the board and the public, they just couldn't quite understand that transition to the point where they did pass a couple of small bond issues, but boy, nothing to get the job done later on.
No. And I think, you know, the people that wanted the bond issues and the board members and so forth, their tenacity in keeping it in the forefront,
yeah,
I think had a lot to do with
getting
the last
making it happen.
15 well, years and so forth.
And the thing that really saved our butts was the local option sales
right.
tax, where it was a countywide.
Instead of just, yeah.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, I refereed football and basketball also. Football for a lot of years, and you go to a lot of the small schools, and, you know, it was still a big deal, but you had maybe 15, 16 kids on the sideline, you know, on the team. You wonder what's going to happen.
How
well,
gonna keep on going.
And my son-in-law Dusty, there, he officiates football now, and he was saying they were at MFL, and he said, "Boy,
yeah,
you know, and there's teams that have folded because they don't have enough kids." But that was the other thing, is with the smaller schools, same way with the band, you know, kids would be in their football uniform and somebody would hand them their instrument, play the national anthem, and, you know, and that always reminded me of West Dubuque when I started there.
Yeah.
Everybody you had to work together to get anything done, and, you know, and they did.
But that was, some...
We played at Ryan one time, my junior year.
Well, I played there.
That was...
You're lucky to get out of town.
I can't think of the kid's name, but, oh, he was supposed to be a real... real dandy. Of course, I just hear the reputation from all these other guys, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they were talking about some of the guys who were on our team, too, with reputations, but... yeah, I walked in those places, but this is a gym.
Yeah.
You know, after, you know, Cedar Rapids, Davenport, go to all those, you know, Moline, Rock Island, or Seniors Gym, you know, I mean, that Seniors Gym is still big, you know.
Isn't that amazing that facility has stood the test of time for still a nice facility?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll never forget... Bill Jance and I went into Senior one night to watch a basketball game because they were playing Lindmar, and the kid, the Bohannon kid, the oldest one, was playing. And so we're right inside the door, thinking the bleachers there, And all of a sudden I see Bob Beardsley comes in, and he's sitting there, I don't know, this is before or after the half, in walks Bo Ryan and his assistant Gary Close to watch Bo Hannon. Well, as soon as Ryan comes in the door, Beardsley jumps up and runs over and starts talking to him. And then all of a sudden he's showing him a magic trick. And they're both laughing. He went through the whole thing.
But see, I think Bo Ryan was into the... I know he was into the tricks, but
yeah.
I mean the magic.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, well maybe there was a connection.
Yeah, there could have been, but yeah. That would, because my senior year then we played. At senior, we played senior then for the. What would have been?
Sectional
or whatever, yeah. Yeah, and then we beat them, which was a huge upset.
Yeah.
Not so much for us. I knew all those kids.
Yeah.
And, it was devastating for some of them because I don't think they really thought.
No, they didn't think that was going to happen.
It would even be a game.
Who did you play then? Remember?
Waller.
Well, you did play Waller. Okay.
For the title.
Yeah.
And it was a good game. Close most of the way.
Is that when Jack Anisky was playing? For?
Jack Anisky and Burbach.
Conlon,
Mel Cushion.
Yeah, those are good ball players.
Yeah. They were big. A lot bigger than we were. Mm-hmm. And we were not big. I mean, 6'3", 6'4", 6'4", 6'4",
yeah,
you know.
That's big back then.
Big back then, yes.
Yeah.
And now it would be big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Realistically.
Yeah.
I don't know where so many of the big kids have gone to, but you don't see the in-between kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're either
6'8
or 6'9 and
6'2. Says there's a Johnson kid that's coming up. It's going to be about 6'9 or 10, he thought.
Well, if Dennis is measuring, that means it'd be about 6'6.
I don't know.
when he had DJ Link down at 6 foot that one time, I thought, wait a minute here.
Dreamer.
Yeah.
TJ's going to light it up at the U.S.
Yeah.
Here, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was talking to Robbie Sieverding. He said they're really going to be down this year.
Yeah.
You know, well, when you lose what he's lost. But with a facility like the U has, you know, you're. But it's very difficult to recruit kids today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't understand. I guess I understand in a way, but so many local kids. I think they're told they're better than they are, and can play at that next level. But so many of them go and then end up not playing and not enjoying
their experience.
Something that they always enjoyed doing, and all of a sudden they don't get to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, let's take enough of your time here. But thanks for sharing.
No problem. It was, like I said, it was an experience on the first date. You know, and like I said, I knew a lot of the kids.